Did you guys miss me? Did you enjoy my vacation? Well, you should have. I did. I mean, I had you some good speakers. That was good, wasn't it? Ron Gray was here on the 18th. That was my birthday, by the way. Yeah. Well, it's too late now. I'm already 49. And it's sad when 49 sounds young. Most of you know what I'm talking about. And then, of course, the next week, I was here for Eli, the Book of Eli, at the movies. And then after that, Pastor Steve Lyle shared with you about the joy of the Lord. That was good, huh? Made us laugh. I got monitors up here. Of course, last week, Danny Eiler was here. He talked to you about the big red tractor. So many of us try to pull that around, that big red tractor, when it's got a motor of its own, right? All you got to do is crank it up. Anyway, so today we're going to go back to Luke. And if you have your Bibles, I guess you know where to go, right? Luke chapter 6, verse 12. All right, we're going to be talking today. Here's what I want to talk to you about. I want you to look at me and listen to me. Judas, the apostle, with a special place in hell. Think about it. Judas, the apostle, one of the 12, with a special place in hell. Let's read. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, and John. Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was also called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Let's get very serious right off the bat here, right off the top. How many of us have ever been betrayed by someone we loved and we trusted? Wow. Now let's go a little deeper. How many of us have ever betrayed someone who loved and trusted us? Well, you're honest. And the rest of you probably could raise your hands as well. It's just because the person you betrayed might be just sitting next to you. Anyway, see, I have been both. I have been on both ends of that thing. I've been betrayed, but I have been the betrayer. I have been Judas. And most likely, most of you have too. Now, what I plan to do on this particular lesson was terminate the study of the apostles with this one, but that's not going to happen. I'll tell you why. You know, I thought we would end here and then move on in Luke. One thing is we're not rushing through this study. It's just been too rich. But what I have learned in this study is a person can be called by Jesus Christ himself to the highest vocation of anything, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Hear the very words from the very lips of Jesus and still find his own place in hell. A person can walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus, eat with Jesus. He can see miracles happen. He can observe people exorcised from the devil or from the devil exorcised from them. He can see all that happen. He can hear the teachings. He can be filled with power to go out and preach himself and deliver people from demons himself. He can deliver people. He can preach the kingdom. He can hear the kingdom. He can know about salvation. He can think he's saved and he thinks he's secure. But the truth of the matter is he has his own special place in hell. This lesson is just too serious because, see, what I feel like is some of us, some people in our own church, unless they deal with their hearts, are going to find, though they think they're saved, they think they're secure, they're going to have their own place in hell. Could that be you? Could that be me? Here's kind of where I want to say is, have you kissed Jesus with a kiss of love? Or have you kissed Jesus with a kiss of betrayal? It's fascinating how this infamous character, Judas Iscariot, that we all know, could be so closely associated with Jesus Christ under his direct supervision. and yet have such evil wickedness in his heart. I can't comprehend that. It's just beyond what I can get. How he can betray and be so close to Jesus himself. Many of us have betrayed others, as we acknowledged, and many of us have been betrayed by people that we loved and trusted. Which kiss was it? Did we kiss them with a kiss of love and dedication and devotion? Or was it a kiss of betrayal? What did they kiss us with? Where are we here with this Judas guy? There are all sorts of apocryphal writings about Judas Iscariot. And they really make him worse than he was. The truth of the matter, the truth is enough, right? I mean, what we do know about him is sufficient. See, Judas Iscariot was a man of ultimate evil. If we were to go back in history and we were to look at all the people throughout history who have done evil, wicked things. Go back to Nero, a horrible person, an infidel. Come on down, you got Adolf Hitler, you got Joseph Stalin, you got Idi Amin, you got Saddam Hussein, Osama bin Laden. You could go on and on and on, serial killers, mass murderers, rapists, child molesters, evil, wicked people. Sum them all up, list them all down, and at the very top of the list is this character, Judas Iscariot. He's the vile of the vile, the worst of the worst. It's documented that Adolf Hitler studied demonology because he wanted a demon. He wanted Satan. And it's written down that at the end of his life, he spoke no longer in his own voice. He spoke with the voice of demons. So if we were to look at all those people that we listed and compiled that list of infamous, vile, wretched people, evil folk, you would say that it was easy to see how they would give their soul to Satan. You can see that. They give their souls to Satan. But what I can't understand is how somebody can be so close to Jesus. It's inexplicable to me how someone so close to Jesus can give his soul to Satan. He ate with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He heard Jesus. He observed. He saw the very Christ himself, yet he was so wretchedly evil. It was not until the night of the betrayal that we get to read what was happening. In Luke chapter 22, verse 3, it says this: Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the what? One of the 12. One of the apostles. One of the chosen of God. Filled by Satan. John 13:27 says this: As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. When you or I, when we betrayed that person who loved us, who trusted us, were we satanically influenced? Had a devil come into our hearts? You know, you may not agree with me, but I think I was. Because after it was all said and done and over, I questioned myself. I said, what was I thinking? What possessed me to do that? It's not difficult to give Satan a place. It comes so deceitfully and so easily into our lives. In every list given to us in the scriptures that list the 12 apostles, Judas Iscariot is always listed last, and along with his name is always the traitor, or the one who betrayed him. And it's there for a purpose, and the purpose is so that we'll never forget. The purpose is there so that we'll never one time forget. When we ever associate, think of Judas, we think of this betrayal. We think of this person who betrayed him. The name Judas has become synonymous, has it not, with betrayal, betrayer. It's a byword. I want to look at this in just a second, at his name. See, the issue that made Judas' deed so vile is because he betrayed the brightest light, the greatest gift that God's ever given to mankind, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The reason he did is because of greed. Have you ever... Judas betrayed God. Have you ever betrayed God? Why? Why did Judas betray God? Why do we betray God? It's greed. It's always greed. Many of us do it for money or mammon. Greed, that's what his was, 30 pieces of silver. That's what Judas's was. It's not always perhaps mammon or what we would call money, but it's we want something someone else has. We want something that's not ours. And it becomes more important to us than does Jesus, than doing righteous. We want it more. And so we become greedy for it. So we sell out Jesus for greed. That's what we all do. So I've got to ask you, what to you is more important, more valuable, more desirable than Jesus? What is it that from time to time causes you to sell out Jesus? Interestingly, of all the verses in the scripture referencing the betrayal of Jesus by Judas, none of those verses and none of those things ever lean toward Judas being forced to do it. It always shows us that it was a willful act of his own. Now, what I mean by that is that Judas's destiny was not controlled by God. I'm going to show you this. Judas chose his path. We choose our path. He was never somehow controlled by God to betray Jesus. The apostles, after Judas had committed suicide and they were in the upper room, they were there together, the 120 of them, not apostles, but the 120 together, and the apostles were talking, and they knew they needed to replace Judas Iscariot after he had hung himself. And so Peter, here talking about this, says this in Acts chapter 1 and verse 25. It says, may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas, by transgression, fell. He wasn't pushed. He wasn't controlled. Of his own transgression, his own sin, caused him to fall. And I want you to get this part. That he might what? Read that to me. He might what? Read it real loud. He might what? Go his own place. Apostle. There's a special place in hell for Judas. Special place. That word is tapas. Means a portion or space marked off. Judas today occupies his own place in hell. It's frightening. It's frightening when you betray Jesus. It's frightening when something comes that is more desirable, more valuable. We want more. And then we betray Jesus for it. Judas had his own place in hell. I pray you don't. And I pray that ones, people you love don't. And though today no one names their child Judas, have you noticed that? Nobody calls their child Judas. But in that day, it was a very common name, a very popular name. It was a good name. And it has a good meaning behind it. In fact, in the list of the apostles, you remember just before they say Judas Iscariot, they say Judas the son of James. Right? So it's a very common name, a very popular name when this was going on. So, well, let me show you what it means. It's the word Iotis. And what it means is from the Hebrew, and what it means is he shall be praised. So when Judas was born, his parents had great hopes for him that he would be a praise of God, that God would praise his life, that God would use him. And it didn't work that way. We get a lot of insight from Iscariot. Iscariot was not a family name. I'll show you this. Iscariot is Iscariotus, and meaning a man from Kerioth, or of the assassins. Kerioth was a city about 20 miles south of Jerusalem. And this is where Judas was from. His father's name was Simon. And oftentimes in the scriptures it will say, like of Simon Peter, Simon bar Jonas, Simon son of Jonas, or Judas son of James. Iscariot was not his family name. In fact, they disassociated him from his family. They disassociated him from everything. They were saying, he's from another place. He's not really associated with us. All the other 11 were from Galilee. Judas was from Kerioth. So Judas comes from Kerioth. So how did Judas from Kerioth become a part of the 12? Why did Jesus make him an apostle? Was Jesus blindsided by this? Did this sneak up on him? Did Judas slip in? No, because the scriptures tell us that Jesus knew the heart of man. See, here's the deal. There was a divine purpose. And Judas was actually chosen to fulfill the scriptures. I'm going to show you this in just a few seconds. But see, Judas knew what kind of a person he was, and Jesus knew what kind of a person Judas was. And if I mix up Judas and Jesus, I know you know what I'm trying to say. But what Judas didn't know was his destiny, but Jesus did know his destiny. And Jesus knew his purpose. So he chose him. You see, at that time, there was this carnal idea that was taught to them by religion. There was a carnal idea of the Messiah. The Messiah would come and he would create this kingdom. It was the kingdom of God. And rather than being a spiritual kingdom, what this kingdom would be a military kingdom. They were taught this by religion. It would be a welfare state. He would provide, this king would provide for them food and anything they needed, and clothes and money. This king would provide them healing and all this miraculous stuff. And that's what they were taught, that the king in this kingdom of God, the Messiah, would be. And all the disciples thought that. This is why they argued, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest? Why James wanted and John wanted to sit on the right and the left. Because this kingdom meant power. This kingdom meant wealth. And so Judas wanted in. So what Judas kind of did is hitch his wagon to the star, thinking the star was going to take him to prosperity and power. So he would have come from Kerioth to Galilee area, over 150 miles away. He would have followed Jesus around with the crowd for a while. He would have associated himself with Jesus and the others. I think he was probably a most likable person. I think he had a great personality. He was likable. He projected himself as trustworthy. And he got in. He got in. He was selected. Judas saw the people come. He saw the miracles happen. He knew what was going on as far as this could be the Messiah. He hooked up to it. He saw the crowds coming. He saw the offerings given. And as I've told you before, it took a lot of money and offerings to sustain 12 men and their dependents for those years. Judas gets in. He's selected by Jesus. He chose Jesus for Judas and his greed. Jesus chose Judas for the plan of God. It's amazing how God can do that. He can take and weave together the violence and the evilness and the wretchedness of man into his plan and work out his plan eternally. It's amazing how he does this. Judas, like the others, had left whatever life that he had to follow Jesus. But it wasn't for the right reason. It was for a different reason. Because what we know about Judas now shows that the reason that he was following Jesus was for money. Think about it. Judas thought how lucky he was to be in. I'm in. And how not only am I in, but I'm the treasurer. I got control of the money. How lucky he was. Or was he? See, while he thought he was making his way, he was actually just heading down his road to his special place in hell. And a lot of times, is it not that way with us? A lot of times we think we're making our way to where we want to go, but in reality, there's a special place in hell. How lucky Judas was. While greed was working in the wicked heart of Judas, Jesus chose him. Jesus knew he was a devil before he chose him. I want to show you this in just a second. It's amazing to me how God does this stuff. He chose him, and he takes human volition and he combines that with divine purpose, and he unfolds his divine plan. Judas was going to ride Jesus into the kingdom. What Judas didn't know is God would take all of Judas's wretchedness and evilness and fit it all and make it all perfectly work together to fulfill his plan and fulfill his scriptures. See, Jesus knew the entire time that Judas was a devil. I'll show you. John chapter 6 and verse 70. This is early in the ministry of Jesus. Then Jesus replied, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Don't you know I know what I'm doing? Have I not chosen you, the 12, yet? One of you is a what? A devil." Why did God choose you? Why did God choose me? He's somehow working it all together to unfold his plan. I want you not to miss that. Judas was always a devil. He was a devil when Jesus chose him. The thing about people that are filled with the devil, don't know they're filled with the devil. Because that's part of being filled with the devil. You're deceived. Matthew 26:24. This is so important. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. Son of Man's going to go. He's going to go be crucified just as it's written. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be, and I need you to read that again out loud to me. It would be what? Better if he had not been born. Whoa. What does that mean? Well, you see, once you're born, you never die. Once Judas was born, although his body would decay, his spirit would live eternally in hell. His soul in hell, eternally tormented in his special place. It had been better that he never been born. He will eternally suffer. God used Judas in his plan. But because God used Judas doesn't mean God controlled Judas. And neither does it mean that Judas is not in hell. Judas is in hell. It would have been better for him never to have been born. See, Judas is responsible, just like you and me, just like all of us. We're responsible for our sins. We're responsible for dealing with our hearts. We're responsible for what we do. We may get by with it with people, but we're not going to get by with it with God. Psalms 55:12. This is a messianic prophecy given by David. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. I could handle that if it was an enemy. If a foe were raising himself against me, I could hide from him. I don't have to be around a foe. But it is you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship. As we walk with the throng, the house of God, we praise God together, we worship together, we ate together, we fellowship together. It's you. There's no betrayal worse than the betrayal of a close friend. A person you trust. Have you ever been betrayed by a close friend? And a more pertinent question is this. Have you ever betrayed a close friend? When we do those things, we're on the path of Judas. We're on the road that Judas walked. And we need to check our hearts. And we need to get our lives straightened out. Psalms 41:9. I'm reading this because Jesus is going to quote it in the next verse that I read. Psalms 41:9 says, "Even my close friend whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." That's another messianic prophecy written by David. Jesus is in the room after the meal. Judas is gone. He's talking with his disciples, apostles, the other 11. And he says this in John 13:18. "I'm not referring to all of you. I know what I'm doing. I know those I have chosen. I knew what I have done. But this is to fulfill the scriptures." Why was Judas chosen? To fulfill the scriptures. "This is to fulfill the scriptures. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me." He quotes that Psalm 141:9. Now here, watch this. "I am telling you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am He." What's Jesus saying here? Jesus is telling His apostles, "Listen, I want you to know that my plan is not going awry. The plan of God is not messed up. Judas didn't slip in and blindside us. I'm letting you know this so you'll know that I'm Him. I am who I say I am." Telling you before. He wanted them to know. He wants you and I to know. Judas didn't slip in. Judas was chosen because of the scriptures. This is how it had to happen. It's proof that Jesus is exactly the Son of God. And you better believe it. Don't ever doubt that. The betrayal proof was proof that Jesus is the Christ. Amazingly, even in the greatest betrayal of all times, in the evil of evils, the worst of the worst, in the best shot that Satan can give, even in all of that, the purposes of God are always fulfilled. Word never fails. That's one thing, I guess, if I had to tell you the thing in all of my years of serving the Lord that proves to me is that His Word never fails. Jesus, after what we call the Last Supper, sitting in the room, Judas is gone. He's sitting in the room with the other 11 just prior to the betrayal. And Jesus is talking to them. He talked to them about His leaving, them not being able to follow Him. He talked to them about the Holy Spirit coming. He's talking to them. And then after He's finished talking with them, Jesus prays to the Father in their presence. And this is what He said. I'm going to read it to you in two translations. First, the King James Version. John 17:12. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me,
I have kept. And none of them is what? Lost. Except, but, the son of perdition. Who's he talking about? Judas. Son of perdition. What does that mean? I'm going to show you the definition of it in just a second. But it's the one that got hard, the one that was in destruction, the one who is set for destruction. But the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. The whole thing about Judas was about the scriptures being fulfilled. Reading that to you now from the New International Version. Same verse, 17:12 of John. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Judas Iscariot is doomed and damned to the destruction of hell. The word perdition, apaleia, a destruction, a destroying, utter destruction, a perishing, ruin. Jesus said he was the son of ruin, the son of destruction. Obviously, Judas Iscariot is forever damned. Imagine how the other apostles would have felt about Judas. See, not only did he betray Jesus, he betrayed the others, the other 11. He deceived all of them, or attempted to deceive Jesus. He did deceive the other 11. They never suspected him, not one time. Even when Jesus said, one of you are a devil, they never suspected Judas. Judas had to have this personality that was just radiant. He would have been fun to be around. You know, even I was thinking about this. Jesus never one time pointed him out, and the closest that he ever got to it, in all the times that he was trying to get Judas to repent, Jesus never really pointed him out. They were at the table, and Peter sitting across from John and Jesus, and John was sitting next to Jesus, and Judas was sitting next to Jesus on the other side. Peter asked John, he says, ask him who it is that's going to betray. And he did. And you know what Jesus did? He took the sop and he handed it to Judas. Well, I was thinking about that. You know, even that wasn't enough to get Peter to understand who Judas was and who was the betrayer. Obviously, this guy was so good at deception. He had such a personality. He appeared to be so trustworthy. And Jesus never one time pointed him out. Isn't that what he does with all of us? They never suspected him of embezzling from their treasury. It wasn't Jesus' treasury. He took the money that was given and he supported those guys and their families. And Judas was taking it, embezzling it, pilfering from it. They never suspected his deception. The entire time, the other 11, though, were transforming into righteousness. Judas was transforming into Satan. I want to say this, and I want it to stick with us. See, the sun, S-U-N-R-S-O-N, melts the wax but hardens the clay. What am I trying to say? The Son, S-O-N, became the Word of God. The Word became flesh. The Word of God will either melt you and transform you, or it will harden you. You will become softer and softer to the things of God, or harder and harder resisting the things of God. The other 11 were transforming. The Word was working on them, and they were softening. And they were seeing more and more of spiritual things, and heaven was clearer and clearer. Judas was getting harder and harder. I want to say this. This is a word to the wise. If you've gotten to a place in your walk that the Word of God hardens you, you better leave. You better get away from church. You better get away from God. You better get away from Jesus. Now, you will go to hell. But it will lessen at least you won't get the damnable judgment that Judas got. At least it won't be better that you were never born. If you're not going to deal with your heart, if you're not going to deal with your life and your sin and repent, then get away from it. At least you'll lessen the judgment. All through those years that Judas was with Jesus, Jesus never exposed him. He extended love to him. He extended affection to him. He was always reaching out to him, even in his sermons. I mean, I thought about this. You see, the Word of God hardens you or softens you. I thought about this. You know, Jesus would go from city to city and synagogue to synagogue and area to area preaching. And he was preaching the same basic word. That was the word of the kingdom, the message of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God, salvation. And so it would be pretty similar. And so these guys were hearing kind of the same sermon over and over. It just changed a little bit. And we'll see that in a couple of weeks. But when we get to this one, the next sermon that Jesus is going to preach. But I was thinking about this, you know. So Judas was greedy. I mean, this was his deal, was greed. He wanted money. And so Jesus would preach, "You can't serve God and mammon." And he would preach that over and over and again and again. Who do you think should have been the very first person that would have spoken to? Judas. But instead of softening him, it hardened him. I'm thinking about that. You see, when I preach to you about money, about giving, about how you handle money and what you do with money, some of you get so hard at me. I'm only trying to save you from hell. What if Jesus were to preach that to you? Oh, I'd do it. Jesus said, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You see, it will soften you or it will harden you. And if you're not going to repent and you're not going to change, let me tell you, there's a place in hell for you. See, that's what Jesus always does. He shares His Word. This is Him talking to us. He shares His Word. But He always allows us, He allows you to make your own destiny. He doesn't push you. He doesn't control you. Judas heard all the parables explained by Jesus, their meanings, His teachings. Yet he continued to follow Jesus. Go to church, as it were. But he never did anything about his heart. Never. He's following Jesus. He heard the messages over and over. He heard the words of Christ over and over. He's in the amen corner. Amen, brother Jesus. Yes, that's right. Hallelujah. The whole time he's walking down his own path to his own place. See, he had come to a place in his life that he thought he was above the judgment of God. He was an apostle! Hallelujah! Man of God! Don't get by with it! No, it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. See, we all come there. We go to church. We think we can get by with it. We're above the judgment. God's Word never fails, no matter who you are. Jesus preached and preached to Judas. He extended love and love and love to Judas. He included him in the 12. He reached out to him at the supper. We'll talk about that next time. He included Judas in everything he did. But Judas's heart got harder and harder. Now, I've watched this over all my years of ministry. It's one of the most fascinating things. The same preacher says the same sermon, and somebody gets hard and somebody softens up. And I watch him after all of these years, hearing me preach the same sermons, hearing about family, about finances, about this stuff that actually works over all these years, and I watch him fall. I watch him walk away from God. You have to. Here's the word of truth to us all. I'm closing. When you continuously hear the word of God and you reject that truth, you're on the Judas path. If you don't melt, you'll get harder. You're not interested in the word of God, you're interested in the world. So what are you focused upon? Is your focus the world, or is your focus the Word, Christ made flesh, the Word made flesh? What each of us need to see today is that Jesus continuously reached out to Judas, just as he continuously will reach out to each of us. Yet Judas refused to change. So today, this very day, Judas is in his own place in hell, in torment. How about you? What does the word do to you? Are you softened to it? Is your heart receptive to it? Or does it harden you? Are you melting and being transformed? Or are you hardening and heading for hell? One more scripture, Matthew 26:14. Then one of the 12, one of the preachers, one of the closest people to Jesus that there's ever been, one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said unto them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him 30 pieces of silver. Judas' dark and deliberate deed. I know this is what the first thing I want you to see is this is deliberate. This is premeditated. He thought about this for several days before he betrayed him. He thought about it for a time. He watched Jesus looking for an opportunity to betray him. This was premeditated, pre-thought. He sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. What is your 30 pieces of silver? What to you is more valuable than Jesus? What causes you to betray him? Let's pray. Whew. Lord, what you've shown us today is that an apostle can go to hell. An apostle. Is there any hope for us? I know there is. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. You know your heart. I want you to raise your heart, though. If you question your salvation, if you suspect that there is something that's interfering with your relationship with Jesus that causes you to betray him, it's from one or of two things. Number one, it's this. First thing is, it can be Satan. After Judas took the silver, betrayed Jesus, they arrested him, took him to be crucified. Judas took the silver back, gave it back, threw it into the temple, and then went and hung himself. Satan filled him to betray Jesus, but then condemned him because he did, and caused him to hang himself, commit suicide. What Satan will do is condemn you after you've sinned, in an attempt to kill you. So, if you're questioning your salvation, it could be Satan because of something you've done. All you've got to do is repent. Repent. Change the direction. Stop doing it. Stop walking towards the darkness and turn and walk towards Jesus and walk towards the light and stop doing it. Or it could be number two. You've become hard. You've become hard to life. You've become hard to the Word of God. You've become hard to me, hard to Jesus. You've become hard. This is a tough one. Because what this requires is repentance. But what you've got to do, and I've done it, I know what you've got to do. You've got to go and fall at the feet of the cross, feet of Christ, at the base of the cross. And you've got to ask Him to break you. And breaking isn't fun. Let me tell you, being broken by God is not fun. But it's better to go into heaven with one eye and one hand than it is to go to hell with all of it. It's tough. But He will melt you. He will put you in a place that you'll be seeking Him. And He'll melt your heart again. And He'll take out that stony heart and He'll replace it with a heart of flesh that He can use. So it's going to be one of the two things. Satan's condemning you and causing you to question your salvation. Or number two, you've gotten hard. Now, I'm not going to ask you to respond to one or the other. But if what I just said spoke to you, and you said, I need to deal with some issues, would you just slip your hand up right where you're sitting and just say, pray for me. I see your hands. I see hands all over. Thank you, Jesus. One more thing, then we'll quit. Some of you are far from God, and you're going to go to hell. Some of you have a place in hell right now. And unless you change, unless you repent, that's where you're going. How many will say today, I'm not going there. I'm going to repent. I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. He's going to be the most precious thing that I'm going to follow after. And He says today, I want Jesus in my heart. Let's slip your hand up if that's you. I see your hand. I see your hand. Any others? I see another.